Hello and welcome to the Charmed Life Podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe. And I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. I'm so blessed to be here with you today. I have been going through some challenges, and maybe it has some alignment with the energies, the cosmic lunar energy specifically that we are upon. So I apologize if you, first of all, welcome. But if you do listen regularly, I did miss, I wasn't quite on a weekly schedule the last like 3 or 4 weeks because I had some just physical challenges. I'm fine. But I wanted to say thank you for sticking with me. And I do hope that this episode finds you at a timely manner. Now, we are going to talk about in this episode a few different topics, so I'm going to kind of split it up into segments, and I hope this this helps you to kind of engage in it with that subconscious spiritual mind. I first want to talk about the lunar energies. We are at the beginning of an eclipse cycle, and specifically today, as I speak, record, and publish this, we have a really powerful lunar eclipse. So I want to talk to you about that. I'm also going to talk to you about intuition, and I'm going to talk to you about mediumship, about connecting with specific energies in your guidance pantheon. So that's where we're going. Let's start with the lunar eclipse. Today is November 18th. I got the date. November 18th, 2021. And we are having a really powerful lunar eclipse that I'm going to talk all about from a practical standpoint and, of course, a spiritual standpoint. Now, I want to say that if you're listening at a time outside of this, there is still a lot of spiritual education, information, edification in this because the moon is ever teaching us and guiding us about our spirituality and our emotionality. So listen with that solar plexus fully open and anchored in the heart as well. All right, let's get down to the specifics. We have a lunar eclipse. I'm going to tell you the times. I'm going to tell you all the details of it. It is starting today, the November 18th at 10 p.m. Pacific, and it will last until about 4. Now, it's like 10:02 or something like that, but you know, I'm just being general. 10 p.m. Pacific till about 4 a.m. Pacific, the 19th, November 19th. And that's going to be 1 a.m., starting at 1 a.m. Eastern. And, you know, of course, if you're somewhere else on the globe, you can figure that out probably. Now, here's the deal. When an eclipse is, what it looks like to us is that the moon is in almost complete shadow. What is happening is that the sun, the earth, and the moon are coming into a near perfect alignment. Now, this is an exceedingly special eclipse. What's happening is that 97% of the moon will slip into the Earth's shadow because of that alignment. It's an exceptionally deep, partial, but very, very deep eclipse because the moon will be, it will be an umbral eclipse magnitude of about that 97%. Umbral eclipse is the shadow. It's the first shadow that occurs in an eclipse. The second shadow is called the penumbral. So it's that partial eclipse, but it's almost all the way there. Just a little sliver of her glory will be showing, and you know, to us, just a little bit of the sliver of the silver. So 97% of the moon will be covered by the Earth's shadow. Just that silver sliver will be exposed to the direct sun, and it will be at really just a maximum eclipse. The rest of the moon would take on a sort of ruddy color like a total lunar eclipse would. So just that sliver. Now, the eclipse, the reason this is a special one some of the special reasons is because it's really the longest lunar eclipse for about 1,000 years. The last time a partial lunar eclipse that lasted this long, about 6 hours, was on February 18th, 1440. And the next one will be February 8th, 2669. So we've got this long span that this very special, long and deep partial eclipse is happening. The longest lunar eclipse in the span of about 1,000 years. The reason that this eclipse is so long, maybe it's not total, but it's deep. It's 97%, but 6 hours long is because it's about 1.7 days before the moon reaches apogee. And that's going to happen on November 20th at 6 p.m. Pacific, around 6 p.m. I mean, it's like 6:02, I'm not sure. And so apogee is when the moon is its farthest point from the Earth for that month, for this cycle. And so all of that is lending to this very special eclipse. Now, let's talk about what all of that means spiritually and how you can make use of this very special positioning and display. Well, let's talk about what the moon and the Earth and the sun mean to us, how we relate to it. And I'm going to just simplify it for you. If you are the moon, which, by the way, I am the moon, I consider myself literally the moon, partly because I am a reflector, my human design is reflector, but all of us are the moon in the sense of our emotional body, our feeling body. So let's imagine that you are the moon. You are aligning with, identifying with the moon in your emotional aspect. So from that perspective, as you relate to the Earth, as the moon relates to the Earth, this is like your journey, your path, your purpose, and the unified field of creation from the emotional standpoint, even from the personality within the emotions, that matrix, that ever green blossoming of your emotional body. The Earth is your, is the representation of path, purpose, the creation field that you are engaged with. So that's the Earth. Then the sun is the source, is God, is prime creator. It is life force. The moon in this is positioned at this time right in the center, in near perfect alignment. So then what that will feel like, there's a couple of points here that are conjured as this experience is happening, this almost complete alignment and this almost complete eclipse. You see, when the moon is turned to source at, let's say, at new moon, with new moon, we see the dark side of the moon, as they say, but it's really just we don't see her because she is facing the Earth. She's not facing the Earth. She's facing the sun. And then as it goes halfway around the cycle, then we have, you know, the crescent, the gibbous, and then the crescent, the first quarter, which it looks like the half moon, and then the gibbous, and then the full moon, so the full brilliance. She has collected all of that energy from source, and now she is shining it onto the Earth. And that, again, is the purpose and the path, the way that she is contributing. And so we take that path with her every month. This is why we set intentions at the new moon, because we are communing with source and making plans for how then we are going to exhibit it and let it come to fruition and manifestation, materialization at the full moon. And then we take the path back to source and we continue that cycle with her. So with the eclipse, we have the moon in kind of that midway point, near perfect alignment. So what near perfect alignment with the sun and the Earth will feel like, well, the offerings here are possibly the shadow of feeling abandoned, or the gift of feeling independent, and an even greater gift in Gene Keys, what they would call the city, SIDDHI, an even greater gift would be interdependence, again, that unified field. You see, because of the near perfect alignment, that balance, it's like you are, as the moon, she is come into an equilibrium with both the Earth and source, with the sun. And so in a sense, she can feel as though she is unsupported. And when I'm saying she, I'm talking about the moon, but I'm also talking about your emotional body, you. You might feel as though you're unsupported because you are equal. You're lifted up. It is the idea of the training wheels being taken off because you are one with both the path and the source. But the shadow that is offered here, which, by the way, the shadow is always the gas in the tank, as we transmute the shadow, we're able to understand how to operate through with the gift and the forward movement. But what is offered here, what may come to mind or may seem as an expression of the shadow, it seems to me as though it is like Christ on the cross, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the moon here in this near-perfect alignment may seem equally far from source and equally far from creation, suspended. And that is the shadow that may reveal itself, we may sense during this time, an abandonment. And so abandonment issues may be showing up for you. I know they have been for me. I dreamt of my father last night, which I'll share in a bit. But what also is offered here is independence, that you are strong enough, that you have everything that you need. And in fact, as you look to either side, you are flanked by source and by creation. And then, of course, interdependence, an even greater expression of independence, because it is understanding, it is the sense that everything is connected, therefore nothing could ever be separated from you. That is one energy that you may be working on, or that you could explore, even consciously delve into, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, because we have, you know, the accompanying pre and post shadow phases of any cycle, of any powerful cosmic event. So just to sum that up again, you could be exploring abandonment issues that could take you to alchemization, where you feel independence, and an even greater alchemization, transmutation to interdependence or unity. Now with the apogee energy that we are deeply experiencing, because that apogee, which happens every month, but it is enhancing the eclipse and the time of the eclipse. What can happen with the apogee energy that might be conjured at this time is a feeling of overwhelm. Overwhelm is that shadow that is being offered. How do I feel overwhelmed? Chaos, turbulence. And that overwhelm, that anxiety, can also create a repressed feeling of like depression and disconnection, because the overwhelm is coming from the fact that we feel so far from our path. We feel so far from our purpose. We feel far from the unified field, similar to the abandonment with the previous point. Now that overwhelm, which could be sensed as an anxiety, or it could be sensed as, you know, the opposite side of the coin, which is depression because of feeling so disconnected, that can be utilized, transmuted to release. So having a sort of break from the path and the purpose, needing to serve it, because the moon is hardly shining upon the earth at this time, just that little 3% of a sliver, that little silver sliver. So then she has a break from needing to, from actually shining her gift upon the earth. So whether it feels like disconnection or overwhelm, that can be transmuted and resourced to turn into a release. A release of those energies of overwhelm, a release of the illusions of disconnection. So these are the offerings that I'm picking up on for this lunar eclipse, this deep, deep partial lunar eclipse for 6 hours. Now, I mentioned we have a pre and a post phase. The deepest of it will be sort of felt during the 6 hours, and you know, you can really consciously focus upon it, but honestly, sometimes during the depth of it, it's like you're almost in an automated state. So it may have been that this week leading up, or even more than that, you've been preparing, your energy knows what's coming and is communing with the moon, planning with all of the cosmos. And then as we pass through it, then you can also use the energy afterward. Now, definitely for big events, especially lunar events, you've got 2.5 days usually. But, you know, with such a huge event, you can carry this through to, you know, a week, you know, really be working on this. Now, I would recommend that you use the upcoming nights to really dedicate to dreaming in a very highly conscious way. You just want to drift into sleep, maybe do a meditation, drift into sleep, and set the intention that you will have a deep and restful sleep that will be healing and beneficial to body, mind, and spirit. And at the same time, you welcome yourself for any shadow working, any communing with guides, and any celestial energies with the moon herself. Now, I want to tell you that in addition to using your sleep and dream time, of course, you can go into some beautiful shadow working session on your own. I want to fully empower you to do that. You always want to first meditate. You want to shift into the inner planes. And I have a gift for you if you would like to use one of my meditations that I've created. It's a peace meditation. It's an acrostic. So with the word peace, we are using different states. I move you, I guide you through different states of being. So it's really like it's a mind reset. It's a calling in the states that are beneficial to you. So if you would like that, just click the link in the description of this episode, and there is just, you just fill out a little form and then you'll be able to download it. And so I have that for you. And if you set yourself up with a meditation and then do some journaling, do some automatic writing, I like to do what it's like a chakra questioning I've talked about before on this podcast, where you just tap into each chakra and just ask, what do I need to know about? And perhaps it is abandonment or feeling disconnected or feeling unmotivated, feeling like I'm not really on my path in the strongest way possible, whatever that might be for you, because these are the kind of energies that turn up at this time. Any discomfort that you're feeling is really just a venting of those energies, and the moon is here to help us with that, to enhance it. And so head outside if you can, if you like. You might get a glimpse of it. You might get a glimpse of that wonder, of that beauty, of the hidden moon. All right, in this section, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about intuition. Ooh, intuition. I'm in a 7 personal year, which is the spiritual number, the 7 year. It's very intuitive and it's very introspective. And man, whew, has it been? Yes, it has been. But I want to share just a story with you so that you can kind of catch some of the vibe of trusting intuition, and you know, we don't know where it's going to lead us, and that's a good thing. That can be a really cool thing. So I had, it's now been about a week and a half ago, I think it was, yes. I had a regular work day, except for the fact that I had the morning that was pretty open. I just had a meeting with Crystal Ann Compton, who's my best friend and business partner in the Lightshine Academy. And, you know, I had a meeting with her about midday. And so I had the morning to go and do a beautiful nature hike. I hike almost every day. I take off about 2 days per month from hiking. It's something that I desperately need. It's my soul. It's my connection with Gaia Resonance, which is the Schumann Resonance, and my communing with, you know, what is my whole being, really. Communing with fairies, communing with trees, and earthing and grounding. So I had a nice open morning. I was up pretty early, and I wanted to go to my favorite hike, which is a little bit of a drive. It's like a 25-minute drive one way. So that's, you know, 45, 50 minutes round trip. So you already got a chunk of time there. Sometimes I can get it down to 20 minutes, but, you know, we're in LA. I'm in LA. So there might be a little traffic. I have to account for that. And then I do a much longer hike there. It's in the forest. It's so beautiful, so magical. I usually see so many deer, so many fairies, oh, so many gnomes. It is, oh my gosh, I'm buzzing in the energy of it, even though I'm sitting in my studio right now. And so I wanted to go on that one. And I do a longer one, so the actual hike itself may take me an hour and a half. So, you know, that's a good chunk of time, but I had the time. And I was ready. I was about to walk out the door. And except that, well, I should say, before I was about to walk out the door, I felt, and I was meditating, and I felt like toward the end of my meditation that I was feeling this nudge. Instead of going to my big, beautiful fairy, you know, hike that I wanted to so much, that I was to go to the short one that's actually really, really hard. And it's also very close to work. So, you know, it's going to take me really, I only have to allot like an hour to do that deal because it's like a 45-minute hike and it's a 4-minute drive from work. You know what I mean? Like, but it's actually really hard. It's like uphill, tons, really, really uphill. I felt that nudge and I was like, I don't want to, kind of fighting. But it showed up again like 2 or 3 times. And, you know, when it's still there, even though I have an idea, I want to do something else and, you know, everything seems laid out for it. But then I'm like, okay, it keeps being there. I just keep feeling it. And for me, I feel it in my solar plexus. I feel it in my heart. And then I'll often start seeing images of it in my clairvoyance. And I was like, all right, well, this must be intuition. This must be, you know, my guides kind of telling me that there's, you know, a reason for it. So then after that, so here I am now. All right, I guess I'm going to do that. But I was ready and I still had a ton of time. But then there were just little things, little distractions that just kept coming up. I couldn't even write them down. They were so odd. And, you know, I wasn't frustrated. They were just like strange little interactions, delays. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, well, now I have to go on the fast one because that's all the time I have. And I'm like, great. Well, I still have 15 minutes to spare. So I pull out of my driveway and then I get, you know, there's like all of the school kids are going into school. So it takes me like an extra 5 minutes to get out of my neighborhood. I'm like, okay, I still have 10 minutes to spare. And then I get to a stoplight and there's like this caravan of emergency vehicles that holds the traffic up for like another 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, well, I still have 5 minutes. I can always run too to make sure that, you know, I'm not late for Crystal. Not that that's a huge deal. This is all the stuff that's going on, you know? And then I get up there, I do my hike and, you know, I'm busting it because I want to make sure I have that extra time to cool off. And on the way back, I had 3/4 of a mile left. I'm approaching this area that's a single track area and I see 2 young women and one of them's lying on the ground. And I thought, it's not a very wise place to take a chill. It's like a single track. And then I get really close and I see she's dusted up and she's got like, you know, her hand over her face and looks like she's been crying. And so I stop and I say, are you okay? Can I help? And her friend said she fell and the girl on the ground kind of like is crying and she says, I broke my leg. And I was like, oh, honey, okay. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And, you know, did you call? Yes, I called, but I don't know the name of this trail and I don't know how to tell them to get here. And I said, okay, what are your names? And the woman who had hurt herself was Nadia. And I said, okay, guys, if you talk to them again, you're on the Wildwood Trail. Tell them to go all the way up the path to the street to that trailhead entrance. That's going to take you there. And I said, I'll help. If I find them, I will help any way I can. And then I just stopped for a second and I just felt my heart just open up and send all this healing energy to Nadia. And I said, hey, Nadia, I just fell 2 weeks ago. You're going to be fine. You're so strong. I can feel it. You're going to get through this. I know it's really traumatizing right now, but I promise you, you're going to get through this because I can just feel how strong you are and help is coming. You're going to be fine. And she's like, thank you. You know, of course, really in pain. So I'm booking it because I'm like, I don't have any idea if I'm going to see any emergency vehicles, but you know, I really thought I possibly wouldn't. Well, wouldn't you know it, sure enough, I came down the hill. And there were fire engines and they were actually starting to drive away. So I'm busting it up there and I was like waving my hands. I said, I know where they are. And they said, great, can you take us to them? And so I did. I escorted the fire, the firefighters. They weren't, I guess they're more paramedics, Nick and Garrett. And they had to carry some, you know, big equipment. And they were really, really nice guys. And they, you know, there was a lot of where they were bringing up the vehicle, but they couldn't get the vehicle there all the way. Anyway, I took them all the way there. It was actually a really pleasant experience connecting with the emergency officers, and I just gave Nadia another, you know, well wish, and I held prayer for her for a few days as well. So now, of course, if I hadn't done that, they were going to find them. And it wasn't that hot, you know, it was, the weather was very pleasant. She was going to be fine, but I got to be a part of it as energy support, and it was really, it just was really beautiful. I was really glad. You know, it's so wonderful. I feel like saying thank you for allowing me to be of service. I got to be a part of it. And you know what? I got the reward. Because remember, I wanted to do my big hike. Well, I did a big hike because I had to do it twice with the first responders. And, you know, and so I thanked the, you know, of course, thanked them for the work that they do. And, you know, that's where your intuition can take you on. Even though my ego mind thought that I had a better idea, kept setting me up with this perfect timing, delaying me here a little more, delaying me here. And I got to connect with being of service, and I appreciate that. And I really feel like I was of service because I know how it feels to fall on a trail. I've done it probably a dozen times and had literally done it 2 weeks before. And, you know, so I feel like the compassion that I was able to hold space with her for, I just know that is helpful. And I was definitely very grateful to be able to be a part of that. So the moral of the story is really trust your intuition. Intuition feels like that nudge. And the more that you meditate, the more that you do your spiritual working, the sort of louder that subtlety will seem. I always liken it to tastes, you know, to flavors, because possibly because, you know, my previous career was in the culinary arts, and I was a beverage chef, so to speak. But if you think about tasting wine or coffee or those more sophisticated tastes when we are kids, if the first time you ever taste coffee, you're like, blech, you know, and or wine, if you, or even tea, you know, tea is a rich and has bitterness to it. And actually, as a matter of fact, little kids don't have their sensitivity to bitterness is really, really high to ward off poison berries and things like that. And so it has to be acquired to be able to actually feel those tones in a way that is pleasing. And it's the same thing as above, so below, working in the subtle energies of spirit, working in the subtle energies of your inner planes. It's perfectly natural to us, but we are so conditioned to pay attention to the outer, external, the harsher, materialized, whether it's literally material or if it's artificial energies, you know, that we need to remember our intuition to ourselves. So the more that you spend time with that intention and mingling and in those energies and saying yes to it, the more obvious it becomes, even though it's still subtle. You'll be able to pick up those subtle chocolate tones that, you know, coffee drinkers can taste, or, you know, the toasted almond, or even the tree bark, the ponderosa pine that you might taste in a coffee that is a medium roast. And that's what spirit, that's what your intuition is like. That's what it is like for me. So acquire a deeper taste of it. It's a whole lifelong journey. And I just want to encourage anyone to continue to say yes to your intuition, because the more we say yes to it and follow it, the more distinctive it becomes. And our relationship with it becomes so easily reliable. Not just it's always reliable, but knowing that it's reliable and being able to just move forward like you're on a roller coaster and you don't know what's going to happen on the next turn.
And now for these messages. Hey there, friends in spirit and love. It's Trisha Carr here, and I want to invite you to a magical workshop called The Mystical Medium. The Mystical Medium is a live 2-day workshop designed to connect you to the other side. I'm teaching this workshop, so I want to share a few ways that mediumship is a powerful gift and blessing in my life. Well, personally, developing my mediumistic abilities helped me to have a deeper, more precise communication with my spirit guides. In conjunction with my meditation practice, mediumship has been key in helping me to hear, see, feel messages and guidance from spirit. Second, having a connection to my past loved ones is such a comfort, I mean, to say the least. By carrying on my relationships with those who have moved into eternity, well, I feel like I'm living more eternal and free. And finally, as a professional medium, being that channel for others and their past loved ones, with evidential, unmistakable details, this has been such a humbling and truly mind-blowing experience, and I tell you, it is that every single time I experience it. So I hope you will check out the Mystical Medium Workshop. It will be offered live December 4th and 5th, 2021. The Mystical Medium is presented by Lightshine Academy. Visit class.lightshineacademy.com/mediumship. Learn more and register. Spirit is waiting. And now I want to talk about mediumship. Mediumship is often associated with connecting with past humans. And yes, that is a sort of fundamental way that we utilize it. And that's actually, I'm going to share a couple of stories about that. And well, I'm going to share a story about a past human. I'm going to share a story about past animals. Anyway, past in discarnate beings. How about that? Mediumship, though, I say I'm a multidimensional medium, and that's usually when I do a longer intensive, or like in the intuitive intensive, we talk about it a little bit. The intuitive intensive, the registration will be opening up for that probably in a couple of weeks it'll be in December, I think, of 2021, and we'll begin in January of 22, so keep your eye out for that. And then, of course, I have told you about the mediumship workshop, the Mystical Medium, so you can check the link in the description for that. And we will be focusing on discarnates in that workshop. We'll be focusing on the relationship with past loved ones, but also guides. And, you know, some of those are one and the same. I called it your pantheon of guides, those who are helpers in spirit. And so, multidimensional mediumship is about connecting with also other dimensional beings, individuals, individual expressions of source. And so that could be angels or interdimensionals. And of course, I have a strong connection with the fae and elemental realms. And, that's all to me kind of a part of the same tuning. Tuning meaning what the tuning of mediumship. Mediumship is tapping into different energies to have the communion or communication. And I really, tuning the other way I use that is because to me with multidimensional mediumship, it's like changing the radio dial and the spectrum of the different radio signals that you would tune into, like animals, past animals versus past humans. And then of course, in the incarnated world, the telepathy, it's all telepathy, but the telepathy that you would have with animals or elements of nature, trees, you know, all of these, and of course humans, you with the telepathic communication with humans. And then switching the dials to the spiritual realms, like the past humans and animals, and then of course angelic, archangelic, interdimensionals, and oh my goodness, the ecosystem of spirit is so prolific, we can't even map it completely. So that's how I feel and experience mediumship. And mediumship was this, well, in a sense, you could say it was my first gift that I opened, but it's, I guess, technically my second, because my first gift that I opened in my metaphysical awakening was animal communication. And synonymous with animal communication is animal mediumship. So I was communicating with past animals. And then I started to open up mediumship, which included, you know, humans and other kinds of beings of spirit. So I find it to be powerful and useful and just magical. It is magic. So I want to share a couple of stories with you about how mediumship has been blessing me lately. Now, this is kind of like, it's similar to intuition, but having the actual visitations and conversations. And the first story, it's both the intuition and it's mediumship, because, well, I had a visitation while I was sleeping. The visitation was some of my past animals, two of my birds and one cat. And
it was an astral dream, like an astral projection. And it was a prophetic dream as well. Well, I didn't, it was a visitation, an astral projection, and it was a prophetic dream. And I didn't know it was prophetic until, you know, the prophecy came to fruition. So these, my animals, his name is Aramis, and I call him Ami. That's my cat. And then I had my shale bird, which is my cockatiel, and her partner, his name was Fabi, and he was a parakeet. And I was, the dream, you know, encompassed an interesting scene where I was panicking and feeling guilty about them and how I treated them and whether they were healthy or whether they were, you know, okay, yet they were totally fine. But I was still like panicked. But then they were sort of comforting me. And then I just got to spend this realistic, because it was such a deep visitation on the astral plane, this realistic visit, just loving them so deeply, each of them individually, spending time with Aramis, spending time with Shale and scratching her little head, and spending time with Fabi. And oh, I'm living it right now. And I woke up and, you know, I was still feeling like, gosh, I felt all this guilt, but yet it was a positive dream. You know, it was like a positive visitation. It was interesting. I didn't really know how to, you know, what to think about it. And then, of course, it explained itself in the physical life a few hours later when I fed my current birds. I have five birds. I fed them and said hello to them and all that kind of stuff. And then about midday, yeah, it was about midday, I went to talk to them again, to hang out with them, and one of them had passed away, Basil. Basil was his name. He was a parakeet. There are five parakeets, and there was no trauma. There was nothing that had happened to him. Now, I don't know how old Basil was. He had been with me for about 3 years. My friend had found him on the side of the road, like, you know, off a sidewalk in a cage with no food or water in the dead of the valley heat here in Los Angeles, with like 100-degree heat. And she, you know, found him. They took him in. And he lived with their family for, I don't really know how long, to my memory, maybe it was a year, maybe it was less. And, you know, when she's like, oh, you have birds. And, you know, I said, yeah. And she said, oh, we have a bird too. And I don't really know what to, you know, she was kind of like, we've never had birds before. I don't know. And she showed me a video of him, and I could sense that he, you know, he really needed a colony. He needed a flock. And I had a flock. I had four birds. And so she's like, yeah, you know, take him. So I brought him home. And he was so instantly happy, really shifted his behaviors right away. And the way that he had wound up in the situation from which my friend rescued him on the side of the road there, well, he had a partner. He had a bonded partner, and that partner passed away, and somehow the humans just didn't want anything to do with him anymore because he became louder and more erratic without his partner. And I don't know what that plan was. I guess they just decided he could just die on the road, but he was rescued and he came to my home. So that's how, I have no idea how old he was. As I tapped in, it just, you know, and talked, I just really felt into the scene. It just seemed like his little heart stopped. It was very sudden, although it was about a month leading up to that where I had noticed that he was napping a little bit longer and a little more than usual. And so I think what it seems to me is that maybe his heart had really started, but he had about a month where his health maybe was shifting, and kind of had only a month of old age, which is kind of great. And so my sweet animals, who had visited me the night before, were helping me to process the guilt that I always feel when an animal passes. It was like a preemptive support. And they also come, you know, because they are in my soul group, and they come and they meet the animals in my life who pass on, and they, you know, they support them and carry them to the other side because we have this connection of being family. Now, as I said, it's mediumship and it's intuition. It's intuition because, well, you know what's funny is
The other things that had happened was I had planned in Mystic Arts Academy to do two channeling sessions, one with Archangel Azrael, who is the angel of transitions, called also the angel of death, but it's not like a bad thing. He helps us to transition to the other side. And then Archangel Jeremiel, who is, helps us with the life review process, both after life and also at any time we need it during life. Well, I'd had to postpone the Archangel Azrael class because I was ill. Yes, that's right. I'm trying to remember. Because I was ill. And of course, I had planned it like 2 months before. And the Azrael class ended up coming 2 days after Basil passed away. Wow, what a support. And St. Francis came through very strongly in the Archangel Azrael channeling session as well. And it was really, really beautiful. And one of the members of the Mystic Arts Academy, Cheryl, I'm not going to say her last name just in case she doesn't want me to, but I think she'd be comfortable with me saying her first name. She sang to us in the class. She sang us the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. And oh, I'm living that right now too. It's so beautiful. Make me a channel of your peace. So that's how mediumship can help, and intuition as well. You know, sometimes we think that we get psychic premonition or intuitive premonitions because we're supposed to do something about it, but that's not always the case. It doesn't mean we're supposed to stop something. Basil having a full and complete life and simply exiting this plane, there wasn't anything that I was to do about that. Of course, his life is going to have a cycle. So I didn't get the prophetic dream so that I could stop it. There wasn't a way to stop it. It was just so that it was, well, you know, sometimes it's not a so that. It's just that you're in the energies of it because you're in the subtle energies. So you're feeling, it's almost like you're smelling it as it approaches. You're smelling it in spirit. Your spirit is smelling the energies. And so, you know, you'll just be aware of it, even though you don't know that you're aware of it until the event happens. But it doesn't mean you have to shift or change anything. But there's this beautiful, it's like a grace container that's opening in advance because you're getting to process it in advance of it even happening. And of course, in this specific case, I had my past animals who were guiding me, supporting me, loving me. And like, while I'm feeling guilty, they were just showing me, no, we are well, and there's no reason to feel guilty. I cried and cried with Crystal on the phone about it, and she's, you know, says, there's no animals in the world who are treated better than yours. And I'm like, I know that's, of course, what anyone would say. And yet, as a guardian of someone, every parent in the world can relate to this. I'm always wondering if I fell short. But in reality, and I think that's just my integrity. Maybe it is my shadow. It's my ego judging. And so as I ascend above that, I realize that all is well and we're all doing our best, and Basil chose me and I chose Basil, and I'm so grateful for it. And shifting gears a little bit, just to share one more story of mediumship, and that is, I had a dream about my dad last night, and you know, I don't dream about my, I don't think about him that, I do, I guess I do think about my dad, but he's not as much a center point of my shadow work and my ancestry work, because I lived with my mother through my whole adolescence, you know, and we separated from my father when I was about 11. And so I have a lot, you know, I got a lot more ground covered with my mom. And, you know, for most of us, a lot of us, mother is the primary caregiver, and my mother definitely was. And the primary caregiver is your first partner in life. And so she is the archetype of partner. And, you know, I have dreams sometimes where it's my mother or it's Brian, and I can't tell the difference. You know, it's both, or it's or they're shifting from character to character. And I have been having a lot of dreams about my mother lately. But not so much about my dad. So my mother is living still, and my father passed in 2016. And my dad visited in a dream last night, and it was really interesting. He was looking for my half-sister, and we were all in a movie theater, some big movie complex, and he was looking for her. And it was, in a way, it was mundane, but I'm telling you, there's not a lot to tell, but there was so much emotional energy in it. And he was, again, very real. It was what I understand from it is my dad now, 5 years past, a little more than 5 years past, he's moved through a lot of his life review, and he's starting to play with or practice making visitations and doing spirit guide work. And so I actually walked my father into the light. I crossed him over when he passed away. I mean, in spirit, and, you know, in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm. And so I'm the one that he's coming to sort of practice, to see how, you know, this spirit guide thing can work. And what I'm taking from this is that he's kind of asking me, how do I connect with his other daughter? And so I'm going to spend some time in meditation and talk to him about that. And as I feel him right now, he's listening, and I'm just feeling like an encouragement for him to keep up the good work, Daddy. But the reason this is something in the mediumship and the intuition part is because, it is a shadow working that is being offered with the, you know, in alignment with that lunar eclipse energy. So we come full circle. You know, he's also here to support me because I'm actually doing a lot of shadow work that involves my mother. I mean, and when I say that, it's not like I talk to my mother about it, because it's not her work. It's my work that I'm doing, but it has to do with, you know, the relationship of mother and the, you know, that's all of that from the childhood. And my father's here, actually. He's helping me with that and coming in at a time that is so strong. So, you know, this portal is available for shadow working, and my dad was using it to be able to connect with me, and also to have me support him in continuing to connect as a spirit guide to my family. So mediumship is amazing. Intuition is amazing. And the moon is amazing. Well, that's what I have for you in this episode. I want to remind you to check in the description, because there is that peace meditation that can help you to just do some mindset tuning to prepare you for moving into doing some shadow work, or just any day that you want to call in those different states of being. And that's there as a gift to you. You just need to click through. It has you subscribe to my newsletter, which you can unsubscribe anytime, and then you're able to just download that MP3. It's produced. It was something that was exclusive for my Mystic Arts Academy members, but I want to offer it to everyone. I also want to draw your attention to the Mystical Medium. The registration link is in the description. And of course, all of the other offerings, free and other educational offerings, all in the description. And then, of course, do please like, subscribe, share, comment, and leave a review on the podcast. I would be so grateful if you would do that. It helps to boost me and my light quotient and our connection as well. And then we have the YouTube channel, which you can find youtube.com/Trisha Carr. I'll have a new video. I missed a couple of weeks because I had some health things going on, but I'll get you a new video coming out real soon with Cami Kennedy, which was a podcast I did previous episode to this one. And then I have a great series on the chakras coming out really soon. And then on Instagram, you can find me there as well, at Trisha Carr Charm. Well, I hope you have a blessed lunar eclipse and a blessed season that we are in right now, as we are shifting seasons and moving in the different offerings of light. If you're in the northern hemisphere, we're moving into shorter and shorter days. And in the southern, of course, they are longer and longer. And, you know, that seasonal lag will help us to continue to do the work even after the specific events. And that's how the moon is working with us as well. And I'm so grateful for you. My heart is just so full. I feel the pressure in my chest right now for how grateful I am that you are listening and that we are connecting together. Thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.